Welcome to Breakthrough Church. Sit back and enjoy the word God has for us.
All right, good morning. Good to see each and every one of you today. Before we get going into our message, I just want to put out a prayer request. We've found out that some things have happened with some friends of ours that are not great. And yes, I'm being intentionally vague because they don't want everybody in the world to know, and I'll be respectful of that. But really, it's just some hard things that they're going through, some pretty significant struggles, some things that could have some pretty extensive consequences depending on how things go. And so, if you'll just keep them in your prayers, you don't have to know, God knows. But just know that there's a need out there, and that God needs to intervene. That I can tell you right now, there's nothing on this planet that's going to fix it. It needs God. And so if you'll just keep them in your prayers as we go out this week. With that, I don't know how, a lot of you have been with us for a while, so I don't know if any of you remember, like, it had to have been close to a year ago that I said I wanted to do a prayer wall, and I couldn't figure out how to do a stupid prayer wall because I'm just not really good at technology. Apparently, somebody at our software thing that we use heard my prayers. Bless you. But now we have a prayer wall. So if you have the app, we have a church app. If you didn't hear about that, we have a church app now. On the church app, we have a prayer wall. You can go in there, and any request that you have, you can put in there. You don't have to put your name. You don't have to put anything. You can just say, I need prayer from anonymous. I don't care. But anytime you want any kind of prayer, let's put it on that wall so that all of us can see that, and all of us can pray for each other, and we can be a community of prayer, because that's what we should be. We should lift each other up. We should help each other. So if you ever have a need, please, one, download the app, because it just looks cool. But also, it has the prayer wall on there, and it also will have our sermons on there that you can go back and review. It will have, last I checked, it wasn't up yet, but it'll actually have a note thing on there, so during service, you can be in the app taking notes. It's got a lot of cool things, as well as our website. Our website's been revamped, so check it out, breakthroughchurch.net. But just keep them in your prayers, and again, if you need prayer on anything, please put it on that wall. If you want it mentioned to the congregation for us to pray, just put it in there. That you do, because I want to be respectful of everybody and their privacy and all of that. So please put it there, and then that's how we will look at our prayer requests moving forward. Okay? All right. So, this week, I'll be honest with you, these sermons have been coming easy, which is really nice. Not that I don't put any effort into it or any studying or anything like that, but it's just been flowing. I just know where we're going with it. It's been really, really good, because I'll be very honest with you, there's been times I've written a sermon, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get past the first word. I cannot focus enough to figure out what is going on here. But with these, it's really just been flowing, and just been, it's been amazing to kind of see it all come together, and it's been ministering to me. Hopefully it does the same for you. But we've been in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So that's, we've been in the fruit of the Spirit. We've been talking about a different fruit every week or so. And so next week, we're probably going to skip, because I have a different message for our mothers on Mother's Day. But that's where we're going to be, at least for the next 6 weeks, I think, after this week. But this week, we're going to get into a new one. But first, let's talk about where we've come from. So our first week, we talked about joy. And the biggest takeaway I want for everybody to have from joy is joy, the pursuit of joy, is found in your priorities. What you put first is where you are putting your pursuit of joy. And when you put priorities of this world first, you are putting your pursuit of joy into something with an expiration date. It could be an immediate expiration date. Right? We've all seen or heard or experienced ourselves gambling addicts, right? They are pursuing that win, right? All I gotta do is just hit the next one. If I hit the next one big, everything is gonna be okay. All of this debt that I have gotten myself into, the house that I lost, all of these things that have destroyed my life will be fine just as soon as I hit. And they're pursuing that piece of joy. And then they miss, and immediately that joy is gone, right? Sometimes it's not so quick. Sometimes it's a slower burn. Sometimes it's we put it into our relationships, or sometimes we put it into our job, or sometimes we put it into whatever. And, you know, I saw that firsthand with Nina, and not that she was putting her joy, that her pursuit of joy into that job, but had she, it would have been ended with disappointment because she got this job, this new job that allowed her to leave the district, and it was exciting, and it was what she wanted, and it came with good pay, and it was a new adventure that she could go on, and it was great for a minute. And then they said, guess what? You don't have a job anymore. We eliminated that position. But here, you can take this position. And then from that position, they said, well, you can have this position, but now we're going to add to it. But guess what? We're not going to add any money, right? And so it just started breaking down to the point where she said, "This, I can't do this anymore," and she found a different job. Had her entire pursuit of joy been in that job, it had an expiration date, and she would have been miserable, right? Because whatever we put first in our lives, whatever we put as our top pursuit, that is where you pursue your joy. So if you're an unhappy, grumpy, grouchy, horrible human being to be around, look at your priorities and decide where you're putting them. Because I can tell you right now, some of the most joyful people on the planet are some of the poorest, some of the least educated. They don't have an amazing social media going. They don't wear amazing clothes. They don't have anything great going on about them, but they are just amazing human beings, and it's because of who they put first in their life. There's a woman that I spent my entire life around. Her name is Brenda Shipley. And that woman is one of the most joyful women on the entire planet. Balls her eyes out every time she sees me. It about makes me ball my eyes out. She's that type, she's that woman who's just a good human being. You know that she is good and full of joy. And you know that woman probably doesn't have two nickels to rub together. She's been a librarian in a town of about 600 people since I have known her. And let me tell you, I don't think they pay that much to be a librarian in a town of about 600 people. They had an old trailer that they turned into a house. They kind of built onto it and did different things with. They were dirt poor. But her and her husband, before he passed, some of the most joyful human beings they'll ever meet because they always put God first in their lives. You saw Christ through them. And through that, you saw the joy, of the fruit of joy coming through them. Last week, we talked about love. One of the biggest takeaways, a few of the biggest takeaways that I have, love is always. There's no condition on love when it comes from God. It says it in Scripture. The command that Jesus gave didn't come with any exceptions. When Paul was talking about love, when he used the word always, it didn't come with exceptions. Love does not have conditions. It is freely given. Love is a command. We saw in Matthew chapter 22, to love God and love our neighbor. He did not say, as long as you like them, as long as they do what you like them to do, as long as they are whatever you mold you need to put them in and so that you can say that you love them. He just says to love. The two greatest commandments. If you're going to pay attention to anything in the Bible, I would probably pay attention to when the Savior of the world comes in and says, these are the two greatest things you must do. That's probably where I'm going to pay attention. And love is fruit. Fruit is the evidence of a healthy tree. When we love God and our neighbor, it produces healthy fruit for others to taste and see. We live in a world that is divided. We live in a world that bases whether they want to like you, love you, or otherwise based on your opinion. We But there is nowhere in the Bible for that. And we as Christians have got to shut that down, because as Christians, we've spent time in the past, to be very honest with you, and some still, separating who we say we're okay to love and who we're not. There's a difference between loving and acceptance, and we've blurred those lines. We think that because I love you, that I accept everything that you're about. I don't love your sin. I don't love what you're going through. I love you. And I think that's a mark we miss so often. And in the world, we 100% miss it. There are people who don't like me because I have an American flag hanging from my garage. I don't say anything about my politics. I don't say anything about anything. I just put a flag that represents the country that I live in, and that causes problems for other people. But it's because we've become so divided on everything, and we base whether or not I can stand to be around you on if you align with everything that I need you to align with. That's not godly love. We love unconditionally, and our fruit shows that. So today, we're going to get into our third fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit is peace. I don't know why I yelled that, but whatever, it's peace. I'm passionate about it. But today we continue our growth in bearing fruit with peace. One amazing thing I have really come to understand during this study is that the fruits of the Spirit all have secular versions. However, those secular versions have major limitations. Joy in the world is conditional and can be taken when circumstances change. I find joy in this person. What happens when they're gone? I find joy in this hobby. What happens when I can no longer do it? Love has conditions in this world. Love is not a requirement. It is not permanent. Peace is no different. Here's the world's version of peace. This is the actual definition of peace. Peace is defined as a state of tranquility, harmony, and freedom from conflict, violence, or mental anxiety. Now, here's the problem when I read this. This is conditional. Certain things have to be in order for me to have peace. Let's talk about the first one. Freedom, not the first one, but one of the ones. Freedom from conflict. Okay. You have any idea in the last 3,400 years how many years of peace there have been on the planet Earth? They estimate 268 years out of 3,400. Meaning that for 92% of human history over the last 3,400 years, there has been no peace. You realize that the second sin that's recorded in the Bible is violence, murder. If freedom from conflict is required for peace, then 92% of the time, we have no peace. Anxiety. Mental and freedom from mental anxiety. There has been a 25% increase in reported anxiety since COVID. In the last 6 years, 25% increase in reported anxiety. 43% of adults report higher anxiety from the year 24 to 25. Adolescent anxiety disorder increased by 52% from 1990 to 2021. If the absence of mental anxiety is needed for peace, then over half the population has no peace. Now, freedom from violence. There are roughly 1.2 million violent crimes reported in the United States every single year. Crime rate is dropping. I will say that. I'm not a fatalist. Crime is, as a whole, in some areas, a lot of people will argue that it just shifts. But if you look at the statistics, it is dropping. But for those 1.2 million people, they unfortunately do not get to experience freedom from violence. So they can't have peace. We're going to look at true peace today. Just as we have seen with the other fruits of the Spirit, when you rely on the things of this world to provide that fruit, you will always find failure. There will always be violence in the world. There will generally be a war somewhere in the world every single year of our lives. You know that one of the most peaceful times that they say that we've had is from World War II until today. They consider that era one of the most peaceful times on Earth. And I can think of five major wars that the United States have been a part of in that time. And yet it's considered one of the most peaceful times. There will generally be a war somewhere in the world every single year. Mental illness will forever be a prevalent issue for humans with no sign of it slowing down. In fact, I would argue, as we go further and further down this road, as we go further and further around accepting mental illness and making it normal, rather than actually saying this is a mental illness and needs treatment, we are only going to go further down that road. So with all of these horrible things happening that intend to steal our peace, and indeed do steal our peace, when we define it by the world's standards, how then can we produce this beautiful fruit of peace as Christians? To be honest, it is such a simple definition, but it is so difficult in practice. True peace is not the absence of war, but belief in the Prince of Peace in the midst of the battle. True peace is not the absence of violence, but the trust in our Creator to protect and keep us. True peace is not the removal of all mental attacks, but the renewing of our mind through Christ Jesus. True peace from God is not a condition based on our conditions. True peace from God is a permanent condition regardless of our conditions. When I was putting this together, one of the things that I for a little bit, was kind of stuck on was, where do I go in the Bible to kind of talk about peace? And there's a lot of different areas that you can look at and all these different things. But one area I hadn't thought of, and it just kind of hit me and kind of made me feel dumb, because this is truly one of my absolute favorite stories in the entire Bible. It is really short, which is good for me because I have a short attention span, so that makes it really nice. But also, it is so, so powerful. We're going to find the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, in verse 8 through 17. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers, "but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." So here we find the king of Aram at war with Israel. But nothing he tries to do is kept secret, to the point where he starts accusing his own officers of one of them actually being basically a spy for Israel and going back and telling Israel everything that he says. And they say, "It's not any of us." And we don't know how. It doesn't really say how, but apparently somehow they know. Maybe because Elisha just doesn't care. But Elisha is the one. He knows everything he's saying. No secret. Even they say, "Whatever you say in your bedroom is known to him." He's the one who's giving up your location to the king of Israel. That's why you can't trap him. That's why you can't beat him. And so he says, "Go find him, so that I can capture him." And so the report came back. "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. One of my favorite scriptures of all time. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I absolutely love this story because it's in such a simple and quick and just easy way of understanding what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be a follower of God, what it is to have God on our side is all encapsulated in this story. And that's why I absolutely love it, because there's so much power in what they see here. The servant only saw the problem. The servant only saw the battle in front of them, or rather the slaughter that would come if they did not comply. I can imagine in that moment, of all the words he could use to describe his current state, peace would not have been one of them. And that is the issue with looking to the world for our definition of peace. It can be taken when circumstances change. When you wake up and pour yourself a cup of coffee, scroll your phone for a little bit, and then step outside to take a breath of fresh air, only to see your entire world surrounded by an enemy that appears so much stronger than you, you lose your peace. When the battlefield of your mind is permanently surrounded and attacked, there is no peace. When the enemy hits your home, hits your finances, your job, your family, your everything, it is hard to find peace there. Elisha's servant walked out that morning, and what he saw stripped him of his peace in an instant. But he did not see the whole battlefield. And that is how the enemy tries to steal your peace. Let me only see the problem. Put my focus on the problem. Keep my mind only on the problem. Even to the point of blaming God for the problem instead of seeing him for who he truly is, the solution, the provider of peace. And this is the point that separates the world from Christians. What do we see in the moments that aim to steal our peace? Do we see the problem? Do we see the hopelessness? Do we surrender our peace? Or do we live, 1 Corinthians 10:13? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Do we stand on Hebrews 13:5? Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Where does my peace come from? Where does your peace come from? Are you waiting on circumstances to change so you can have peace? Once this war ends, I will have peace. Once I get this raise or this new job, we will have more money, and I then will have peace. I will be okay. Once this circumstance changes, or our circumstance changes, then it'll be okay. That is the world's version of peace. And it is a version that never truly finds it. Waiting on circumstances to provide your peace, you will always be waiting. This is why peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Because for Christians, our peace is rooted in the hope found in our Savior. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That right there explains every bit of what we were just talking about. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That right there shows the difference. When Jesus is talking about giving us his peace he leaves with us, but not as the world. Peace on earth, the worldly peace, can be snatched, can be taken from you. When you put your peace, when you put your pursuit of peace in the world, it can be taken from you. But there is nothing that can take away the peace that Christ has given us, that he freely gave us. Nothing can take that away from us. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And then Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is, again, one of my favorite lines. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. What that means to me is that when you shouldn't have peace, when you shouldn't be okay, when the world says everything is falling apart, you don't have any money, you can't pay your bills, you don't know where your next meal is coming from, your children have all lost their minds, your spouse has left you, everything has fallen apart, why do you still have peace? Because I have the peace that transcends all understanding. Yes. The world cannot understand the peace that I have in my Savior. My peace is not rooted in what happens around me. If it was, I would not ever have peace. My peace is rooted in the one who I know has all of it in his hands. When I face financial trouble, when I face issues in my family, when I face issues in the church, when I face issues at my job, wherever I face issues, I know that I'm not doing it alone. Mm-hmm. And that nobody can steal the peace that is rooted in Christ Jesus. Let's stand. I have one simple prayer for us today. Lord, shift our hearts and our minds. When we wake up and walk outside to find ourselves surrounded by the enemy, let us no longer stand in fear and anxiety. Let us no longer ask God why he let this happen to us. But let us say this one simple thing. God, show yourself. Open my eyes to not just see the enemy surrounding me, but to see the God surrounding them. Open my eyes to always see you standing with me in the storm. Peace is not found in the removal of the storm. Peace is found in trusting in the one who controls the storm. God, I thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I thank you that in you, we find rest. In you, we find our peace. And it cannot be taken away so long as we stay with you. That no matter what we face, violence, anxiety, any troubles that come our way, Lord, we know cannot steal our peace because we are rooted and grounded in you. Lord, I ask that the world sees something different. That they see when everything around is chaos, when everything around is falling apart, that there's something different with us because we stand in that in peace, that we stand in that storm in peace. Because Because it's not the storm or the lack thereof that brings us our peace, but it's the one who controls it. It is the creator of the universe, the one who has it all in his hand, is where we find our peace. And Lord, let our fruit show that. When the world asks how we are different, when the world asks how we can face this uncertainty, when we can face these trials and these tribulations, how do we do it? That we can show them our fruit. That our peace comes from high, but nothing from this world. Lord, I ask that we change our focus, that when things go wrong, that we don't ask God why. That we don't say, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you let this happen to me? But we say, God, show yourself. Open my eyes to you and let me see you move. Let me see you work. Let me see you surround the enemy that I think surrounds me. Lord, I ask that you give us, each and every one of us, the strength to go into this world and not base any of our fruit on the world. That our joy be rooted in you. That our love come from you because you loved us first. And that our peace be grounded in you. Lord, I give you the thanks and the honor and all the glory. In your son's mighty name, and we all say,
amen.
Amen. Have a great week. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. If you are a mother, please come.
Zeke, that was my one.
We have little gifts and whatnot for you. We'll have a special message for you. Bring your mothers. Bring somebody you know is a mother. Bring somebody who at some point in their life would like to be a mother. Bring somebody who had a mother. I don't care. Bring somebody. Let's just fill this room as we have in the past. But be blessed. Have a great week. And we will see you all online Thursday. If you want to join us, we're doing just Bible Q&A. If you have any questions you'd like answered, submit them. The link is on our Facebook page. I will also get the link into our website. But ask any questions you want. They can be anonymous if you want them to. But otherwise, we'll see you Thursday evening online if you want to join us. Otherwise, we will see you Sunday morning right back here for worship service. Be blessed.